There's a drive way back. It might be. It could be. It is. Holy cow. Welcome to another broadcast of Bricks Behind the Ivy. Here's your host, Jeff and Sean.
Hey, Cub fans. Welcome to another episode of Bricks Behind the Ivy. I am your host, Jeff Rogowskis, a.k.a. Candy Cubs. With me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire, Mr. Sean Hastuv, Cubbies, Shape, and Sean. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I didn't have a beekeeper being the hero of the Dodgers D-backs game the other night on my bingo card. What about you?
Yeah, that was all the buzz on Twitter.
Oh, I set it up and you knocked him down. That was perfect.
You know what? I don't think anyone's going to believe that we did not rehearse that.
That did not happen. You're just so quick.
We're a little slappy this evening as we've been recording a little bit later than usual. But yeah, just a weird instance in that game. I feel like there's always some weird instances in Major League Baseball games, especially with bug management over the years.
Gnats.
Sometimes, yes, in Cleveland. Sometimes birds exploding in Arizona. I think that was a spring training game. But there's sometimes some animals that get on the field, and that goose in Detroit that just got like rocked. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that.
The black cat.
Yeah, just absolutely a thing that happens regularly. But welcome again to another episode of our lovely podcast where we talk about the Chicago Cubbies as Cub fans, for Cub fans, by Cub fans. Sean, how are you feeling? I know today we had a tougher loss and a 3-4 road trip overall. Team's pretty banged up. I feel like morale isn't low, but it's certainly not high.
Yeah. I'm feeling kind of, you know, it doesn't feel great after, you know, not at least walking out of there with 4-3. I mean, it doesn't feel great, but we got a homestand coming up that's going to be really, really important. You know, 3 against the Brewers and then 3 against the Padres. So, I mean, it's a long season. I don't try to get too high or too low for one game at a time. That's old Sean that used to get pissed off when we lost one game. So it's a long season, and somehow, some way, the Cubs are still doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty much a straight up mash unit at this point that's putting together wins. So I think the positive that I take away from that is that they're winning baseball games that they potentially shouldn't, especially two of those in New York this week. And you know, I know that a lot of people like to point out the losses at the end of the year when things are a game off, but it is, you know, a healthy reminder to point out the wins that don't necessarily belong there at the end of the year as well. So, yeah, you know, run differential can be one of the indicators people look at when talking about how good a baseball team is. And, you know, the Cubs losing 17-0 to Boston the other day is certainly not going to help that argument.
Nope.
You know, the Reds' run differential puts them at a much higher standing where they're at right now. So, yeah, just one part of the puzzle, one part of the giant marathon. And without further ado, I think it is time for the Box Score Blitz.
Box Score Blitz.
I was wondering.
Box Score Blitz. Every time. It's going to happen every time.
I figured it would. But yeah. I was giving you an opportunity. I'm setting you up now. See? Another not rehearsed natural moment here on the BBTI pod. So let's put time on the fake clock. 3, 2, 1, go. Game 1 Friday when Boston Harbor, Ivan Agavis, Cutter Crawford. I'll stop with the Boston accent. It's going to be really hard to sustain. Cubs score early with PCA and Mash Mervis with RBI singles, but it was the first start of 2 in this week of Showtime Imanaga. Showtime, it's a thing. Patent pending, just kidding. But kind of not kidding. That's going to be our shirt. Don't take our shirt. 6.1 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. The dude has a 3% walk rate on the year and a 28% whiff rate.
Insane.
My lord. He gave up a dinger to red hot thorn in my side, Tyler O'Neill. And are the Cardinals still Cardinal killers if they're no longer Cardinals anymore? I mean, he was wearing red, the PTSD. But
yes.
The answer is yes. Yeah, I have yes in here as well. Wisdom hit a pinch hit, 2 RBI double. Wanted a Wisdom, got a Wiz double. That's okay. Cubs win 7-1 on Friday, Saturday. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about this game. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my energy. Cubs lose 17-0. Matt Mervis showed that two-way style when he pitched in this game. 19 balls in play by Red Sox hitters over 95 miles per hour, which makes them hard hit. The Cubs had 7. That's insane. Throw it out. Move on. Ben Brown, he has a 71% hard hit rate in this game. He needs a third pitch. He needs it soon. I think he's going to be a really good option for the pen as once some starters get healthy. But, you know, some people are going to argue against me. Let's move on. Game 3. Reset button. Everything is fine. Just like that get fire everywhere. Nope. Wicks has forearm tightness. Off to the IL. Will it ever freaking stop? Sunday Night Baseball, where baseball is secondary. See, now we're not going to talk about the game, just like they don't talk about the game on Sunday Night Baseball. But Wesneski gets the spot stars. He looked pretty whiff nasty. He had 8 whiffs, scattered 5 singles, and he had 3 strikeouts in 4 innings. But that Hal Cook, 16 whiffs, 9 strikeouts, scattered 4 singles in that game. But the cardiac comeback Cubs, they gave us something to talk about. Talk about bombs. 3-run bomb in the 8th, tied at 4, but it wasn't meant to be. Tyler freaking O'Neill before Zod. Again. He has a flare between Dansby and Happ, and it wins the game. Cubs lose 5-4 in the bottom of 9th. You can see in the moment of the tape where my heart breaks. Game 4, which is game 1 versus the Mets. Yeah, first batter of the game, we found Nimmo. Barrel. It was 1-0. It was very, very annoying. Severino gets the ball. He gets all the way to the 8th inning with a no-hitter. Cubs tie it on a fielder's choice in the 8th after they get their first hit in the 8th, which was at Dansby's once a single. And then power versus power. Man versus machine. The Trumpets versus Morel. Mr. Smiles. Boom. Crushed. High fastball like he was waiting for it. Cubs take a 3-1 lead in the 9th. A 108.9 off the bat. 402 game winning happy feet. Nair shuts the door in a very scary fashion. Cubs steal game 3-1. Cubs are 11-0 when they get a starter in 5.1 innings in a game. And Chris Kamka, the legendary stats guy, is the first Cub win after being held hitless through at least 7 innings since May 12, 1992 at the Astrodome. Jimmy Jones started that game for the Astros. Whoever Jimmy Jones is. Sorry, I don't know who Jimmy Jones is. JJ. We'll call him JJ. Game 5, Mets, ass man, Assad versus Sean Manaea, a guy that I thought the Cubs might actually target as some depth this offseason. They did not. Cubs left a small village in the base pass. They were 0-7 with runners in scoring positions, left 7 men on base. Assad was effective, wasn't as fast, so he had 1 strikeout, and Alzolay has found the lefty demons again, and they crush him. Uncompetitive cutter in the middle of the play. DJ Stewart hit it out of Yellowstone Park. Cubs lose 4-2 in this game. Game 6, it was Imanaga versus Butto. Just kidding, Butto. I just want to say Butto to see Sean last
time. No, it's Butto.
Had a second start in this stretch. Woo, baby, he was good. 9-5 ceiling, my big bottom. 15 whiffs for Imanaga in this game. Cubs scoring a sack fly by PCA after a nice double from Mr. Mash Merzes. But holy moly, was this game stressful. And the last play of the game was completely wild. Tap to Magical to Amaya, just like we drew it out. Tagged out. Super long review, refreshing Twitter more than I'm watching the game. Cubs review was upheld call, not call confirmed. Steal another one in this series, win 1-0. Game 7 was today. Mr. Ben Brown versus Hauser, he had a no-hitter going until the 5th inning. Things looked good, another Morel home run, but it was not meant to be. Cubs blow the lead. Later, blow the game, lose the game, 7-6 on a 2-run single. Maybe it was rolled a double by Lindor at the end of the game, and that is the box score blitz. Cubs go 3-4 in this stretch this week. Doesn't feel great, but doesn't feel bad either. Just got to get healthy.
Right. Great job. Fantastic. That's a much needed drink right there.
I'm completely out of breath. I'm like sitting here like a kid with asthma who ran the mile in gym class. For those who weren't following on Twitter this week, I got like the nastiest chest cold and have like finally been physically upright for the first time yesterday. So I missed some of these games, which like I have to be super sick not to tune into a Cub game. So glad to be back here.
I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back, because having to talk to Eric Hosmer was not fun while you're on the IL.
Yeah, no, you know, and like I happily DFA'd him. You know, that's the only reason I brought it up. DFA'ing that man more than once just brings me joy.
Oh, so, but
what are the hot stove standings?
Hot stove standings time. Okay, so we got the Fighting Jeff Jenkins. They're 19-11. They're leading. we got America's Team in second place, game back of the Brew Crew at 19-13. Cubs are 10-3 at home, so I'm very optimistic about this home trip here. The Red Legs are 16-15, pulling up third. The Birds on Bats are 14-17, 5.5 games out of first. And the Sad Buccos are now 14-18, 3-7 in their last 10. Gosh.
I really like that Buccos team, but like they've just
did too.
But I mean, the Cubs hitting hasn't exactly been anything to celebrate of late, but there's a lot of reasons for that. Somewhere to the Buccos are going to have their spells. The Cubs have every bat in their lineup worth lengthening this lineup hurt. So,
yeah. One thing to note, the Braves are still the best team in baseball. I know, shocking, right?
Yeah. Wow. Color me surprised.
But the hottest team in baseball, I don't know if you caught this on Twitter, it caught my eye, they also won me a little bit of money in betting. I'm not going to say which betting site because no free ads, but the Twins have won 10 games in a row.
That's nice to see. You know, that I did see they got the White Sox the other day. They did win me some money, and I was yelling at them as they were losing early in the game.
We bet on the same game. Yeah. Oh my God.
I was like, well, how are you losing this game? Like, come on. And then the White Sox brought in their bullpen. Like, Tommy Pham had a bunch of RBIs. I'm like, this guy only knows how to manage a fantasy league and slap Jock Peterson. Like, but then, you know, the White Sox bullpen came in and gave up the runs I expected. And, you know, I won a little bit of money. So.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, that's the standings. Nothing really jumping out. You did mention the run differential the other night. That killed the Cubs. They're still in the green. They're a plus 14. But yeah, that hurt them the other night.
Yeah, it's the only thing, you know, like potentially quieter than their barrel rate is my shirt. I'm just kidding. This is the loudest Cub shirt I own. It is
it's beautiful. It's glorious. Yeah.
I wear this when I go to the All-Star game, much to my buddy chagrin who goes with me because I don't seen him public with me, but it's fun. It's light, summery, and I was feeling it. But yeah, the Cubs offense has been slow, and not to hog right into my first topic of the evening, I wanted to talk about Ian Happ and some concerns I have with him. And it, I think it goes beyond being in the three hole, but some of my analysis today was focused, and yesterday was focused on him hitting in that three spot, specifically starting after April 23rd when Bellinger went down, hit that home run in that game, and he obviously had that rib injury. And Happ has sat in the three hole ever since. And is something that Cub fans just like absolutely jumped all over David Ross for doing.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And I think there's legitimate reasons not to like it, but I also can see, you know, in the stretch that he's been Christopher Burrell, like you're not going to put potentially him in the three hole. Like there's not a natural player like Dansby's pretty cold. If you're looking up and down this lineup, there's a lot of guys that are sub 700 OPS. Like they are an offense that is better by the sum of all of its parts and not by the individual carry of a superstar, or there isn't a superstar that can carry them when the sum of its parts aren't working, especially at this moment. And yeah, I think looking at the at-bats that like Matt Mervis is getting versus righties, and you know, maybe getting Patrick Wisdom in there, who's started off the year, you know, with pretty Patrick Wisdom-y numbers. Last I checked, he was a shade over 800 OPS, still hasn't hit his first stinger this year. He'll get a lefty at some point. I'm not worried about it. And still like 214 batting average. That's, you know, on par to what we'd expect from Patrick Wisdom. But Ian Happ, like he is just, along with the Cubs offense disappearing, so is he. Like, it's just, he still has a 331 on base percentage this year, but the slug which has been something that has waned as that OBP has gone up. Like right now, it's just awful. It's under 300. It's around 300. So that puts him at like a 630 OPS, which, like, you know, traditionally speaking, I would say 725 to 750 is average Major League Baseball player. And yeah, that's just not going to do it. He's currently sitting at a 95 weighted runs created plus, which means he's 8% below the average. Usually he's around 14 to 15% for his career. His hard hit rate down 7 points from last year. And like just looking at pitch mix that he's been getting this year, wondering if there's just like a new approach to him. He's seen like just an elevated rate of changeups and sliders, and the fastball rate has dropped. So I don't know if this is something he's not identifying, if this is something pitchers are pitching because his swing rate is up a little bit in this stretch. You know, that's these are things that it's hard to know if like he's just off. I tried to look for, you know, some things too to see if like this is a seasonal thing. Like, how does Ian Happ start a year? And like, is this, you know, the marriage of a situation, or is this a guy who's been cold? And yeah, it's hard to tell because last year he was so hot in April. Like, he had a really, really nice April. But, you know, ultimately, like, he didn't have like a full spring training this year. He had that hamstring issue that, you know, kind of hindered him. And he had some games where he didn't play where it like kind of popped back up. So I'm definitely wondering on some health. He had 2 walks today. Some of my numbers, I want to be clear too, do not include the game today. The numbers I pulled were from yesterday and kind of did some digging in preparation for episode. But yeah, in the three hole, he has 11% walk rate, which is not horrible, but he's got a 36% strikeout rate. The strikeouts
are not good.
Ridiculous. Like, that's just not something that I necessarily attribute. And it's like, it's not a lot of like looking strikeouts, it's like swinging strikeouts.
And it's on the outside part. It's you mentioned pitchers pitching to him. He has a lot of swing and miss, that upper outer part of the zone. It just seems like every at bat he has one of those where it's above the belt on the outer part of the zone or way outside, and he's just swinging through it every time, and he's not catching up to it.
Yeah, and he's 5 for 38 since Belly's gone out.
Like,
that's not good. That's and especially when you're talking about this guy is getting extra at bats in a game because of where he's batting. He's batting in a spot that, you know, right now behind Nico and Talkman, which, like, you know, Talkman is in, you know, the top of the league when it comes to like what he's providing on base percentage wise.
Yeah.
Nico's been pretty hot. Like, this is the guy that's potentially coming on and just killing rallies. It's not something they need in that spot. But like, if he's not right, this team right now isn't right. So like, it's not really easy to point fingers at him. Yeah, in the month, he's like, just looking at March and April in his career, like 2018 through 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his average is usually around like, you know, 14% walk rate, and, you know, he had a lot of strikeouts early in his career, especially 2018 and 2021. 2020 is always, like, obviously is not going to be in there because there was no baseball at that time. But yeah, last year, and 2022 and 2023, he was 21%, 23% and 19% 2022 in strikeout rate. Right now he's creeping ever closer to 25%. Like, his walk to K like balance was closer to 1. The last 2 years, this year is like 0.6. So he's striking out. The average is at 216. Last 2 years is on base percentage. He wasn't hitting the ball like at times early last year, but his on base percentage was in the 400s. Like, oh, that's like had the last two seasons he's prepped. But like, yeah, there's a health component too that we're looking at. So is he chasing because he's uncomfortable? Is he chasing like, I feel like there's something, you know, else going on. And yeah, I was looking at the stats, you know, beyond Ian Happ for this Cubs team, and just looking at like pitching war and player position offense war and then defensive war. Like, defensively, this team is grading out quite terribly. And like,
yeah,
their offense has shifted all the way to mid-pack minimum. like on a production perspective without Bellinger and Suzuki, which is completely reasonable because of how much they were bringing to the table.
But, yeah.
And then their pitching has been fine and like just carried by some really good starting pitching performances and manageable bullpen performances. And yeah, I don't know how long you can expect to win games in this formula, but also they are winning games in a very tough stretch with this formula.
Yeah.
Like it seems
don't like, steal my thunder. Don't steal my thunder.
Seems like they're only going to get healthier. So hopefully this is just a blip in the radar, but yeah, I don't know if he just needs like a day to reset or maybe in versus the next lefty sit him. The two walks obviously being kind of encouraging and, you know, happy is glad that it's now May or maybe yesterday it's going to be May. Cause he has a career 120 WRC plus in May. So
yes.
Usually he heats up as it heats up. Got some home games at Wrigley. But yeah. Definitely concerned with, you know, the dramatic shift in the pitch mix and something that maybe major league pitchers are seeing and how to attack him. Yeah. I just want to quote some numbers here. Before I just kind of leave that so vague. Yeah, his fastball percentage last year was about 48.5. This year's down to 46.7. When the slider was at 14%, it's up to 17. His cutter, he's not seeing cutters really at all. And I don't know if this is a function of, you know, not seeing a ton of pitchers with cutters.
But yeah, I think that's a huge part of it because cutters in general are down in that.
Yeah.
What is it? That splitters are up tremendously is what I saw on X.
Which is interesting because his splitter rate has gone from 2% to 6%. So like that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And the changeup rate has gone from 16.3% to 20%. Like, so that's.
Wow.
Like,
that's a big increase too.
Yeah. Jeez. So sliders and changeups. Maybe it's the classification, like obviously less cutters, but like it's, you know, that those pitches obviously have moved to the splitters. We're in the splitter movement, but the volume of sliders and changeups is definitely something of note. He's like outside the zone swing rates and stuff are pretty normal, but he's not hitting sliders or changeups right now. And he's seeing less fastballs because of it.
Yeah. I think that's going to be something I'm going to watch over the homestand because I want to look for that now. You know, it gives me something to look at in his at bats, you know, because stats only tell part of the story. Actually seeing it with your eyes is going to be telling because it, like, I think it was today or it was yesterday when he had a, you know, first of all, he had a fastball that he took, and then the very next pitch he swung through and it was on way off the plate. And I'm pretty sure that was a slider. So it's going to give me something to watch. I know that.
Yeah. I think the eye test has been pretty poor. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like the pitch selection, especially in 2 strike counts, like the swing selection has been awful. The strikeout rate is something that I started flagging on Twitter about a week ago. And that's kind of where I got the idea that the thing, like, 36% is really high. That's getting to the rate of like, we sent Mr. Ian back to AAA and like he reinvented himself levels. Like that's not going to happen. He's going to sort
of this. Yep.
And he's
earned that. So
yeah. And I looked at too, like he's just been phenomenally consistent since he's come back to the majors after that stint. Like his runs created plus, all those things are like so even first and second half. It's unbelievable. Like there's just so like,
yeah,
he's kind of like a steady Eddie, but yeah, he doesn't have the role, you know, in this lineup. He was the leadoff hitter and he was taking pitches and the hard hit rate too is something that's really low. Like he's not getting behind the ball, which obviously that's going to lead to slug. Like his like fly ball, the home run rate is like embarrassing compared to his careers, but like he's swinging and miss a lot, but like he's just not getting great contact, has not been getting great contact a good chunk of this year. And now he's also not walking. So yeah, I don't know what the solution is.
He just needs to go to Great American Ballpark and get things right.
Yeah, that's true. We'll call our friend Andy and see if you know, they play the Reds, I believe, for the first time at Wrigley the last week of May and the first few days of June. And then
there we go.
I think shortly after that we go to JBP and we'll get those numbers.
Yeah, let's get those numbers back up. You got to raise those numbers. You got to get them back up.
Don't worry, Ian. Don't leave Cincy without a homer, as Kyle Schwarber used to tell. What's catching your eye this week?
So really, I just wanted to figure out, how did the Cubs get to 19-13? I wanted to see some stats and just look at how the team's doing overall. And I got to say, as I, you know, I went into it with a completely open mind and I came away shocked at this. So right now, and I looked at across all baseball. So this is not just the National League. This is National and American. So the team slug, they're in 15th in all of baseball. Team average is 18th. Team home runs, 17th. Team on base percentage, a little bit better at 12th. Runners in scoring position, this is not going to shock you. They're 20th in baseball. that is really bad.
Shout out to Sahad of Sharma. I believe he said, like, on this road trip, they were 3 for 36. That's going to take that out, like, pretty significantly. That's a pretty large sample of of deterioration of clutch hitting.
Errors, they're ninth. Not in the good ninth, in the bad ninth. And then like the ninth worst in baseball.
Top 10.
team ERA, they're 17th. For starting pitching, I think they're 20th in strikeouts, or 25th in strikeouts. For base on balls, they're first. So, I mean, these are not good numbers. I mean, the bullpen's not much better. 22nd in baseball in ERA. They're the worst in baseball for walks. The bullpen is. No one has walked more batters than the Cubs bullpen.
Yikes.
And then, but we're getting some good strikeouts out of the bullpen because we ranked ninth. The Cubs ranked ninth there. So as I, you know, went into all these numbers, I know our viewers are probably sitting there saying, okay, Sean, where were we getting at with this? You know, where did this 19-13 come from? And I got to be honest, I'm at a loss. I have no idea. Looking at these stats, you have 8 of the 13 categories that I just mentioned where they're either in the middle or the back half of Major League Baseball, and they should not have the record that they have right now. There is no statistical backing that says that the Cubs should be 19-13. So my only thought is, Craig Counsell came to this team and somehow the Cubs got the voodoo magic from the Brewers, or they got a little bit from the Cardinals back when they were good. So that's the only thing that I can come up with, because I mean, I'm all ears if you have anything, Jeff.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, I'm not, their expected win loss is 17-15, which, you know, obviously is not that much different than their current record. Mm-mm. Only sitting a game behind the Brewers. And, you know, the Brewers are coming to town this weekend, so I'm not going to say it's, like, an important series, but it's definitely a nice, like, test to see, it's the first time we're seeing the Brewers this year, and we'll get into the series preview in a minute and matchups and such. But, yeah, I think that there are stretches of the schedule that explain why they're mid-pack, because they had some hot stretches versus like Colorado that really got them going and had some nice offensive output at points in games versus Arizona, and came home and had some nice offensive games versus the Astros, you know, beating teams that have not like been world beaters thus far. And they have really gotten some of late, while like patchworking a rotation, they've gotten some great performances from Michael Cirami. Brought this up, like, people are like, where's the depth? Where's the depth? And like, our rotation right now is technically like,
is the depth.
Our one is like our penciled three, our two is like our penciled two. And then like Our one might finally start this week in Chicago. He worked out today in Iowa. Justin Steele had his rehab start the other day. Threw some changeups. Set up man pod. Shout out to that pod. Had mentioned that there was some changeup usage in that start, which I thought was interesting to see that, you know, that he might be working on another pitch while he was on rehab. Like, great use of his time. Will be interesting.
I to love see if that.
Translates in the games, but. Yeah, I think you look at like what Tyone has done since he's been back, and like he's been super effective. You look at what Shota has done this whole season, like it's almost like we could almost call Shota Miyanaga starts this year win day. Like that he has been the win day guy for the Cubs. He's been that good. Like 0.75 ERA, or I think it's 0.79 going into May. Like that's
really is insane. Month. That's not a small sample size anymore.
No. I mean, I saw someone comment and someone that I also, I, you know, follow regularly that's, you know, worked for WBBM. It was a baseball pundit that said, you know, like people are talking about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and how he's been good, but like not amazing, not the price tag. And that, likely, you know, Shota is pitching, you know, well beyond expectations in some capacity and is still a very good player. And it is still fair to say that we definitely have not seen the best of Yamamoto yet, but also fair at the same time to say that there is not a $257 million difference in the type of players they are. And like that, that's like, to me, is such a great way of phrasing it of,
yeah,
it's not discounting Yamamoto in any capacity. He's younger. He's going to be a very good pitcher. He's got really good stuff. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be very good in this game, consistent. But like the evaluation the Cubs had on Imanaga and getting him on the deal he's at, like, wasn't incorrect. And like,
no.
Yes, they're completely different types of pitchers, but like the gap and the money they got, holy cow. Potential misassessment, and it's like, you know, great for the Cubs. But yeah, I guess like this is a long-winded way of saying I kind of understand how they got here. They really beat up on the few times this season they've had opponents that were like, you have to win these types of games. Obviously, there was the split with the Marlins, which I'm going to like write off as, you know, the doubleheader. Just hard to sweep a doubleheader.
It's really hard to do that.
So like 2-4 at home is completely fine with a doubleheader in there. 3-4 is still like, it's kind of challenging, but I'll take the 2-4. And yeah, Javier Assad has been a revelation too. And
yeah,
they have been able to use like Wisniewski and Brown. And Brown, what can Brown do for you? He's started. He has been like the long man. Keegan Thompson has been a long man. They've been able to avoid like legitimate parts of this bullpen puzzle for several games because they've been getting like the Chris Campa had pointed out that, like I said in the box score blitz, 11-0 when they get 5.1 out of their starters.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so telling.
So when they have to cover less than half of the game with their bullpen, they're winning the game 100% of the time. And that, like that stat also, I really meant to mention the box score blitz, moves to 12-0 with that 1-0 win because Shota Imanaga pitched over 5.1. And the game they lost with Javier Assad, yeah, crazy stat. He was taken out in the fifth. He only pitched 5 innings. So like, so 1 out below, and they lose that game 4-2. So they're 12-0 in games in which they're getting 5.1 innings pitched out of a starting pitcher.
Wow,
such a low bar.
It's
like right now, if you like, you don't even have to hold the gun to my head. Like this team does not have a closer. Like Hector Neris is not the answer. And I thought, you know, in the ninth inning today, Palencia, I was like, yeah, maybe this guy's the answer. And I saw some people calling on Twitter for Keegan Thompson, like at 2 innings. And I'm like, well, like if you need Keegan Thompson to piggyback Wisniewski or Brown because you just want to get what you can get out of them, like that's not an effective use of Keegan Thompson.
No, it's not.
Like, but like some of these things are going to start solving themselves as, you know, as Steele gets healthy. I know that I'm going to get torched on Twitter, but, you know, Kyle Hendricks had a really nice start at Double A today at Tennessee.
He did.
He struck out
seven. No walks.
Yeah, no walks. Say, no walks. Struck out seven. Stuff in the zone, and I retweeted like he had a really nice snapped curveball in that game. That was
yeah, I saw that.
Like use that's, it. Yeah, that's like the usage of that pitch is so big for him. And if this is a mechanical thing where he's like he's found the tunneling of the fastball and the changeup, that's what makes him effective. It's when the stuff leaks, like has been leaking. Like he, like, yeah, great. You got additional movement on your sinker. It's never something you've had. So like maybe those things, maybe I was wrong. And like, yeah, it's not a shoulder health issue. It's more of a, okay, the shoulder's stronger. These things are doing this, but like mechanically Kyle Hendricks can't be doing that. Cause that's just not how he's effective. Like if there's actually run on this, a sinker, then there's differentiation. It's almost like
he can't handle the added movement. You know, he needs to go back to old Kyle Hendricks, and he just needs to throw that curveball 3-4 times a game. That's all. Yeah, that's all we're asking, because he became too predictable in a lot of those games. And I like the numbers. I mean, I know it's only Double A, but
yeah,
the no walks is what jumped out to me.
Here comes a nasty comment. Is everybody ready? If Kate Horton did that, are we having a different conversation? Like, if Cade Horton struck out seven in five innings, like, are you scoffing at Kyle Hendricks? No, you're saying that's a great performance by Cade Horton.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, I saw it's like, well, it's only Double A hitters, and that's where he belongs. No. It's two of the same types of two. One guy who's trying to make the majors, and one who's had a very established major league career. Went to Double A, faced players who are trying to reach the major leagues, and shut them down with no walks and seven strikeouts for five innings. It's not different.
Yeah.
How they do it is very different. One, it has electric stuff, and the other guy is the most cerebral pitcher left in the game. So, yeah, I just like that. Sorry, I'll get off my old triggered horse. it's like, all right, if we literally said the same line and put the word Cade Horton in front of it, Twitter reacts 1,000% differently. And like,
100%. Yep.
Another thing about this team is like, Cade Horton's not going to AAA. And really, like, Owen Casey and Cade Horton, the only thing keeping them in Iowa, I feel like at this point, is 40-man roster spots.
Agreed.
And Jed is going to have to decide who on this roster, like, I think, like, literally just want to get to the deadline and, like, move some of these guys, like, for just, like, arms and, like, not have to DFA them. But, like, there's going to become a point, and maybe with a scuffle, like, at some point in this, like, this just mega stretch of hell they have for the rest of
it. Yeah.
Like, where, like, it's you're going to pull the trigger and... Like, if I told you tomorrow that Cade Horton was going to slot in as the closer for the remainder of the year, so you're like, you're not only just managing his innings, but like get to see him be explosively.
I love that idea. Yeah, I love that idea so much.
I would give most of the money in my bank account to ride that idea into the sunset and profit on one of those gambling sites that isn't smart.
Yeah.
But you know who is sponsoring us? I think this is an excellent transition.
Oh, Wrigley, that is a great segue. Great job. Wrigleyville
Sports. Once again, we want to shout out our friends at Wrigleyville Sports here. I'm going to look at the camera and wave. Hi, Wrigleyville Sports. I'm sorry I haven't made those orders yet. I got really sick and just haven't had time to sit down with my kids. And I wanted them to pick t-shirts, but I have a whole cart full, so don't worry, it's coming. And you guys need to go check out the link that's in our description. Check out the links that are in the link tree on all our social accounts and go to that link. Use code BRICKS10 and get 10% off. And I just saw they have Caleb Williams jerseys. Like, you could love the Cubs and you could be super excited about the next year of the Bears. Still get 10% off. Support Bricks Behind the Ivy. Support a local business, especially one that is adjacent to the greatest place on the planet, Wrigley Field, Wrigleyville Sports. We love you. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Thanks for being our sponsor. You got anything?
Nope, I don't have anything. I also have a lot of stuff in my cart right now. It is insane. I'm like, ooh, I like this. Ooh, I like that. and it's just sitting there right now, and I get paid tomorrow, and there goes all my money to Wrigley Wheel Sports. So you should do the same thing.
That's what I was like, do I really want to like this whole paycheck already? Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay, I'll do it.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm going to save 10%. You know, I'm sure I'm not going to use that coupon code.
Yeah. The more you spend, the more you save.
Yeah. Sure. That's.
They call that girl math.
Yeah. I love it. I love math in general. I like all math.
It's a math podcast.
Yeah, this is a math pod. We've already established that. So I think it's time to talk about the series preview and going into the slate before our next episode, which this will be our first recording in a while where there isn't a game the day of our recording. Yeah. So,
hooray!
Which is kind of nice. But I'll start off with the Brew Crew. Brew Crew coming this weekend. Wrigley Fair. It should be, you know, pretty nice weather for a weekend series with the Brewers. I think, you know, they'll travel pretty well. This Brewers team is just, to me, infuriating. And I was just talking about this with friend of the pod, Andy Evans, our Red specialist. And it's just us like, when does it end? Like, now I'm starting to question whether or not it was Craig Counsell that brought whatever voodoo magic to their farm system, or like if this is just lingering effects of players that were, because like the roster hasn't been overhauled since he left, and maybe they have a very solid bench coach, but I just am like, I'm just floored at, you know, what that team is, and like looking up and down that lineup and still not really, besides Wilson Contreras' brother, William Contreras has been so good this year. Like he's been like really, really hot. But beyond that, you know, they're hitting a bunch of home runs, which is surprising, I'm going to go with. Like, I know they have some slug on that team, but, like, you're not, like, these aren't household names just yet. Like, the Jackson Churios, like, Bryce Terang has had a really nice start to the year. You know, you're looking at Moises Ballesteros. Right, no, that's the Cubs prospect. No, Ballesteros is the correct one. You've got William Contreras, who's been really hot. You've got Christian Yelich, who I believe is injured right now. But then you've got some light hitters in like Joey Weimer, Sal Frelick, like Blake Perkins, guys that like sound more like chicken franchises than Major League Baseball players.
That one got me. I was like, what?
I just don't understand. Like, when does it stop? When does the madness stop? And this is like us coming from like a place of jealousy. It's like the Cardinals have like become, you know, a little less relevant theoretically. And like now I have to worry about the Milwaukee Brewers, who are like a top six offensive team with players that I just named.
How?
Yeah. Like that's, I'm telling you, they're number six in RBIs. They are number five in home runs this season. Let's see, on base percentage.
I still don't understand how number with that, two, that group of players.
In on base percentage, OPS, they are number three. Like, and pitching, let's take a look at pitching. Team ERA is, oh no, that's the White Sox. That's the wrong order. Sorry, White
Sox. Wow, that number's big. No.
And that's the thing. Like, so this is the interesting thing about the NL Central. And like, and I would probably need to dig into the Brewers a little bit more and look at some of their opponents. Like, they played the Rays this week and just did not, you know, the Rays have been way worse than I think we would expect, but it's early. But yeah, like early in the AL East is telling, because yeah, you could fall behind pretty quick as some of the top teams in that division are quite hot. But yeah, their pitching is, you know, below mid pack. They're like a 3.98 team ERA. They're not getting much pitching, and that kind of segues perfectly into the matchups this weekend. Like, I literally had to look up, first, I did not realize it was Tyson Ross that's pitching on Friday for the Cubs. I thought that was I did not remember that guy being still a Major League Baseball player, which, like, this is starting to sound just extremely insulting at the Milwaukee Brewers, but, you know, he was had some. Oh, sorry, it's not Tyson Ross. Joe Ross. Oh my God, yeah, Tyson Ross.
I was like, Tyson.
Joe Ross, the National, not Tyson Ross, the old Padre. But yeah, Joe Ross was, you know, he was fine in a few starts. I feel like there's some bad pip luck there, and he is up to like a 5.40 ERA. This like smells like a classic Cub trap game where I'm just gonna
Get
this guy, and he's gonna like for the Brewers throw seven innings of two hit balls.
It's gonna be Cy Ross.
Yeah, exactly. And then not Ty Ross, Cy Ross. Yeah, see, there we go. That's what I was thinking. But the Cubs on Friday, they have Wesneski going, which, you know, with the extra inning game today, I know they just brought up some guys recently. I'm curious if we're going to see some shuffling to get some fresh arms in that pen. We've seen a lot of guys high usage in recent games, and given the low scoring nature. So like, it'd be nice to see some runs from the Cubs offense, and Joe Ross isn't anything for, you know, to shake your boots and be scared about. Saturday, the Cubs have Jameson Taillon, who's coming off a, you know, pretty decent start. He threw, you know, some one-run ball, like literally the first batter of the game hit a home run. The rest of the game, this contact management, not the swing and miss and stuff that you technically or theoretically want from him. He only had one strikeout in that game. And the Brewers are countering with a guy named Tobias Myers. He is 25. He has thrown.
If we lose to a guy named Tobias, I'm going to be really upset.
Tobias Fugue.
That's not even a name.
Yeah, he doesn't have. He's got two starts, 10 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts. Not a ton of data out there. Like, he's 25 years old. I don't think this guy was like top prospect pedigree. He's from Florida. Just not something that a lot of people have seen. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cubs have there. Obviously, the Cubs aren't throwing what I feel like is their, you know, the A squad. And then Sunday is the game that I feel like if you're going to write down on a piece of paper, if you're going to take two or three, like Sunday is potentially the game you lose. It's Freddy Peralta versus Javier Assad. And that's like, Peralta is their guy. Like, he's been very good this year. Didn't think he could be the guy. Still only 27 years old, which honestly surprised me because I thought he was closer to Corbin Burns' age, because Corbin Burns is a little bit older than that. But yeah, 27. He's 3-0 this year, 3.21 ERA. He has 45 strikeouts and a 0.98 whip in 35 innings. He's been pretty good. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. First series, first the Brewers, you know, old bench coach of Council, a lot of some storylines. You know, I think for the second series of the year, we'll have to get our friend back on the pod and talk about it. But I think it'll be interesting to see how this game goes. If there feels like a different Brewers game for the Cubs, or if it feels like the same soup reheated, even with Council under there. I just feel like, as we discussed in the Brewers preview episode, so many references to our past episodes. Makes you, if you're a new listener and want to go back and listen to those.
Yeah, just go back.
Makes me wonder if, you know, is it Council that brings this edge? Is it R&D? Is it deployment of specific types of players? Yeah, just really interested to see how that pans out. And if these turn into like low scoring affairs, or if they're completely something completely different and new. I just don't want to see the hard hit ball right at the guy standing in the weird place for 8 innings. And
yeah, like, please don't let that happen.
But like, obviously, you know, like, they're not deploying the same back end bullpen people. They've got, you know, some flamethrowers back there, but it's not the same feel of like Williams Hader. And like, you're losing the 6 and the game's over. Like, that's
exactly.
So yeah, it'll be interesting as a early measuring stick and an opportunity for the Cubs, like earlier this week, to put their names on top of the standings in May.
Yeah. I would absolutely love to see that. I mean, the goal for me for this series is to take 2 of 3, of course. Less than that at home, I'm going to be a little disappointed, especially since I feel like a win is guaranteed against somebody named Tobias. That just seems like the most logical thing, that would be a win.
So who, what's the series after that? I believe it's the Padres.
Yeah. Yeah. The Padres. So, Padres took 2 of 3, on the West Coast trip. Cubs are obviously looking to pay them back at Wrigley. The Padres, are playing better away from Petco, which is really strange. They got a better winning percentage there. Probable pitchers. This is going to be really fluid for both teams. You know, Padres had an off day today. Justin Steele, I anticipate, will come back for this series. Just a feeling I have. So what I have down, it's really fluid. Shota Imanaga against Yu Darvish, game one. That's going to be a lot of fun if that plays out how it's supposed to.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Justin Steele against Joe Musgrove, and Wisniewski and Brown against Dylan Cease. So they're throwing out three really, really good pitchers, how I see it playing out. A couple of stats. Yu Darvish, 1-1 with a 3.45 ERA. Cubs pounced on Yu the last time around for 4 earned runs and 3 innings. One interesting thing, looking up Yu Darvish, third inning is his problem. Batters are hitting 3.18 in the third and have an 8.39 OPS. Isn't that insane?
That's a random inning.
Yeah, just very random. Joe Musgrove, 3-3 with a 6.37 ERA. The first inning is his bugaboo. He does not like the first inning. So I'm betting first hit for Nico, maybe a home run for Hap in this one, because hitters are hitting 4.17 with a 5.12 on base percentage and a 1.262 OPS in the first inning against him.
Oh, wow.
So let's jump all over him there.
Yes.
And then Dylan Cease is Dylan Cease. 3-2 with a 2.78 ERA. He is 2-0 with a 1.89 ERA and 3 starts away from Petco. The last time around, the Cubs only managed 2 hits against him. So a really tough stretch against the Padres. You know, the Musgrove one seems pretty good, and Winday with Shota Imanaga against Yu Darvish, you got to feel good about going 2 of 3 against the Padres.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The Cubs have seen the Padres twice and are getting the exact same group in the rotation. Mm-hmm. The Darvish Musgrove. Yep. Yeah, just that is, they'll be
random
Padres and have seen 3 of their pitchers. So like,
yeah.
And everybody talks about, like, what's the length of that rotation? And, you know, what's that was early in the offseason. It's like, beyond these guys, what are they? Well, we don't know. We're not going to know unless they both teams make the playoffs. But another exciting week of Cubs baseball ahead and another episode of Bricks Behind the Ivy in the books. You know, I think we can let the good people go before reminding them that you need to comment, subscribe. We have a competition on our contest on our social media channel, our Twitter page. If you follow our Twitter page and we get to 100, we're giving away 3 jerseys. Those are shirt jerseys of the player of your
can choice. I get one?
Sure, why not? So please follow the instructions that are there. I'll put them in the video and you can find them on our Twitter. Also, if we get to 1,000, we're giving away a jersey and Cub ticket. So share, like, subscribe, comment on our YouTube video. Tell us if you think we're good looking. Don't tell us if we're not, because that'll shatter our dreams to be middle-aged male models, just like.
But I'm a hand model.
Model, idiot. But this has been another episode of Bricks Behind the Ivy, a Cubs podcast for Cub fans by Cub fans. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Well, that's going to do it from here, from Bricks Behind the Ivy. This is Harry Carey. We know you've enjoyed the broadcast and the outcome. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe to this wonderful broadcast that they've done and the podcast going forward. Be sure to also check us out on YouTube and Instagram and hell, whatever else is out there on the airwaves. And we want to thank Jeff and Sean for putting this all together and keeping us all Cub fans entertained with their knowledge. You know, I also love to always say that Jeff's last name spelled backward is sick as you are. And Sean's is Nipak. My oh my, never, it never gets old. Well, that's going to do it from here. So from all of us here at Bricks Behind the Ivy, this is Harry Carey saying, go come, holy cow.